sinner's restless heart. As you lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So justice, God of Jacob, you use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So
everybody, my name is Emily, and I'm excited to welcome you to worship online here at the Well today. We're really glad that you've taken time out of your day to join with us. I'm here with Ben.
Good morning.
And with Lori, and we have some exciting things to tell you about that are happening in the life of our church. So, Ben, you want to tell us what's up first?
Yes. So, we have an announcement. As you, or some of you may know, we are a United Methodist Church, and as your pastor, I am appointed on an annual basis by our bishop, along with his cabinet, and locally we have a chairperson of the SPRC, which is basically our personnel committee, and he would like to make an official announcement that I am finding very exciting. And so, Rex, we're going to throw to you, and we'll catch up with y'all here in just a second.
Good morning. As the 2020 chairperson of the Staff Pastor Parish Relations Committee for First United Methodist Church of Long Beach, it is my great pleasure to bring you this announcement from Bishop Swanson and the Cabinet of the Mississippi Conference. During the appointment sessions, Bishop Swanson and the Cabinet worked prayerfully together to appoint clergy to every church in the annual conference. As chairperson, I give thanks for the ministry, service, and leadership of our pastors, Reverend John Kaufman and Reverend Ben Barlow, who have been servant leaders among us. Our church is projected to receive Reverend Kaufman and Reverend Barlow for another appointment year. We ask for your prayers for them. And I invite you to join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we give you thanks for our church. It is a gift of grace to us. We are deeply grateful for the leadership of Reverend John Kaufman and Reverend Ben Barlow, who have served us as pastors, teachers, leaders, and friends in Christ. May your grace be upon them and their families in the spiritual adventure that lies ahead. As they continue as our pastors, we pray for them. May your grace abound in their lives, giving peace, joy, and confidence in this continuing journey. May we remember to lift up the churches and pastors throughout Mississippi that shared this time with us. Empower us to fulfill your mission of making disciples as we serve you. Amen.
Okay, so now we have a really fun announcement about what is happening with Vacation Bible School this summer, and Lori is here to tell us all about it.
Woohoo!
Yes! We know we can't do a lot of the things the same way we're used to for this summer, but we are still going to have Vacation Bible School. We are going to bring it to you online. We are going to have VBS in our homes the week of June 7th through the 11th. So it's a little bit sooner than we usually do, but we wanted to move it up because we feel like a lot of stuff isn't happening that's normally happening. I feel like we've already had a lot of summer already, and so I am really ready for Vacation Bible School. Our theme this summer is going to be focus, which is why we all have some nice little accessories here to wear.
Yeah. Can I show them this one? I was excited about this. It's like a headband that says focus. And you guys, when they planned to make this, they didn't even know that we were going to have a need for face coverings. But it can also be a face covering.
You can also rob a bank.
Which is pretty cool. When we hand out our kits, which Lori's going to tell us about, our boxes for you, we'll be wearing these face masks.
Oh, yes, model.
I was going to show them my sunglasses. Hello. Yes.
And we will be ordering t-shirts still this year because we love VBS t-shirts. So we'll have those to gift to our kids that are signed up, and we also will have those available for purchase for any adults that want to purchase it.
Cool.
The way we are going to do it is we bought some material with this really awesome group called Orange. They've given us all of the videos that we need to tell our Bible stories, do our music, and they're giving us those to go online. So they're already made for your family. And we also want to give you the supplies to do your craft projects, the discovery, anything that you're going to need at home. We're going to do our very best to supply you with all of those things. If you live locally, you can pick those up. And Emily's going to tell you how you can register.
Yeah, so you're going to go to our website, and we'll put a link on here to take you there super quickly. But go to the Wells website, and you're going to register there by Wednesday, June the 3rd. And then that way that we'll have enough time for our people behind the scenes to work to pack a box, a little kit for your family that will make this a really awesome experience for you guys in your home. We're also going to have a Facebook event page that'll be live in just a little bit. And you can go there, share that page, invite your friends. That'll have the link to register on it as well. And our hope is that people will see this, and maybe even people who've never participated in one of our Vacation Bible Schools before will be able to participate this summer. Maybe their activities for June are canceled, and they're going to see that our church is having something fun for families and sign up. So we really hope you guys will share that and let your friends know that we're still doing VBS, even though we're not doing it physically at the church.
Yes. And a really cool thing that is even if you don't live locally, you can still participate if you register.
Yep.
We can give you the list of supplies that you'll need, but you'll have access to all of those videos, and you'll be able to do it with us no matter where you live. So we're really excited. There's a lot of things that we wish we could do, but we're really excited about the things that we get to do and the new opportunities we have.
That's right. Do you have any excitement about VBS, Ben, you want to share?
Well, I'm kind of cool for excitement, like these sunglasses, but yes, I'm super excited. I'm grateful that we're going to have an opportunity to have Vacation Bible School, even though we're in quarantine. And so I thank y'all for putting this together, for your hard work on it, and make sure that you guys invite somebody. We are learning what it means to be the church today. The church is not canceled. The church is not closed. We're just finding new ways and different ways to spread the message of the gospel. And so brighter days are ahead.
Hey guys, it's Ms. Lauren. Welcome to Children's Time. One of the things I really miss about getting to spend time with you in World Junior and Children's Church on Sundays is doing our science experiments together. So I asked Ms. Carolyn, who's one of our World Junior volunteers, to do a science experiment with you guys this morning.
Hey kids, welcome to the Science Corner with Ms. Carolyn. For today's experiment, we only need a few simple things from around the house. We need a resealable zippered bag, like this one, it doesn't matter what brand. We need a large bowl so that we don't make a big mess. We need some water in a container that's easy to pour. And we need a sharpened pencil, like this one. If you have more than one, then a few sharpened pencils are more fun, okay? So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take the bag and we're going to pour water into it. Fill it up about 3/4 full, or at least as far as you think you can still close it. There we go. Let me see if I can seal it. All right. Now, if I turn it upside down, there shouldn't be any leaking. If it's sealed well, good deal. All right, so next I'm gonna take one of the sharpened pencils and I'm gonna stab it through the bag. What do you think's gonna happen? We don't have to stab hard, we can push it, okay? Gently push it. So what do you think's gonna happen? Is it gonna make a big mess? Is it gonna, water gonna go everywhere? That's a good possibility, right? Let's see. All right, I'm pushing this pencil through the bag. Look at that! It's not leaking. I'm gonna push another one. Awesome. And look, I'm going in a different direction. And I'm gonna do one more. I'm gonna do it right through here. Just pushed it in. Look at that, it's not leaking. How did this happen? Well, maybe I can explain. The bag, the plastic bag, is made of a polymer. And it's called low-density polyethylene. That's really hard to say, isn't it? Say it 3 times. Low-density polyethylene. Think of the polyethylene like, think of the molecules of the polyethylene like long strands of freshly cooked spaghetti. And when you push the pencil through the polyethylene, it slips right in between those flexible strands of spaghetti and they reform around the pencil edge in a temporary seal. So they make a temporary seal around the edge of the pencil. Yes, we have one little drop here. So it takes a moment for those strands of spaghetti, those molecules, to seal around the pencil. Okay, that was fun. But what's gonna happen when we get ready to pull the pencils out? All right, I'm gonna try it. Okay, let's try with this one first. What? Look at that. Water's coming out, that's true. Because when I pulled out the pencil, it left a hole and it couldn't form a seal around a hole. So now the water is gonna drain until it gets below the lowest hole, which is, I think, the one over here. So, yay, all right. That was fun. So what can we learn from this experiment that teaches us about God and our relationships with other people? Well, if we think about the polyethylene, the strands of spaghetti, they had to work together to make that seal around the edge of the pencil so that it would be a leak-proof bag. If we just had one strand of spaghetti, it wouldn't work so good. And that's the way we can think about the body of Christ, the church. Yes, we can do good work by ourselves, but we can do even better work for Christ if we work together. Isn't that exciting? So working together is better than working by yourself. I hope you guys have a great day, and I'll see you next time.
could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.
In our service, we'd like to invite you to give an offering. You can do that online by following the link to our website and then the giving link there, or you can give an offering by mailing in a gift to P.O. Box 375 in Long Beach, Mississippi 39560. Of course, if you're a person who considers The Well or First United Methodist Long Beach your home, this is your opportunity to help us continue doing ministry during this time when we're apart, but we're together through technology. When we say our offering prayer in just a moment, I'd also like to say a prayer in honor of Mother's Day. I know that Mother's Day is a little bit of a tricky holiday. For some of us, it's a really great time to celebrate the moms in our lives, whether it's the mom who gave birth to you or to a woman who has mothered you and cared for you along the way. We want to celebrate those people and the way that they're examples of God's grace to us. For others of us, maybe you have a broken relationship with your mom or with your children, and we want to pray that God would bring healing and forgiveness and restoration to those situations. We know that it's tough, but we want you to know that we love you very much and that we're here for you. And we also want to pray just a prayer of peace and comfort for people who may be living life without their mom and in grief that she's not here with them anymore. So let's say a prayer for our mothers and for our offering, and then we'll sing together again in a moment. But first, will you pray with me? So God, in this moment, we just ask that you would come and that you would bless the gifts that we're giving. And even though we're not together as we give our gifts, God, we just pray that you would multiply them, that we would, our church would be able to do great ministry through the gifts that we're giving. And God, we also pray for moms in honor of Mother's Day. God, that you would use the mothers in our lives, whether they're the mom that you gave us, that gave birth to us, or another mom that you gave us that has taken care of us and mothered us along the way. God, that you would just bless those women, that you would use them as examples of grace and love that come from you. God, for others of us, we pray that you would bring healing and forgiveness and restoration to a broken relationship, that you would show us a way forward and remind us that with you and with your presence in our lives, that nothing is ever too broken or too far gone to be restored if you'll be at work in those situations. And then, God, for others of us, I pray that you would just meet us in a place of comfort and peace, as there might be many of us who are sitting with grief today, remembering a mother or a grandmother or a child who's gone on. God, we just pray for all these different situations, that you would be at work and that you would bring peace and comfort and healing and grace and love. And God, that we would love the way that Jesus loves. We thank you for his example, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. The song we're going to sing next is a song called Garden. We've done it maybe one time before, a long time ago at the well, and we sung it on the Sunday before Easter, because this song is set in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed the night before his crucifixion. The song kind of takes his perspective and imagines what he might have felt or thought or prayed that night before he died. We pray that as you hear this song, and maybe as you sing it, that you'll adopt the words as your own prayer, that you will find yourself trusting more in God and wanting to sing a song that declares your love for him and asks him to lead you further into his love. It's a really beautiful song, and we pray that you'll sing it with us right now.
Joy to you, let the words I say confess.
words I say, confess my love. Let the notes I choose be your favorite too. And Father, let my heart be after you. And Father, let my heart be after you.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us once again for online worship. My name is Ben, and today we're going to look at a story out of the New Testament of an encounter that Jesus has with Peter, the Apostle Peter. And it's part of a conversation we've been having ever since Easter of Jesus having encounters with the other disciples and other followers. And today we look at this moment he shares with Peter. But first, I need to ask you a question. And the question is this: have you ever made a promise or a declaration that I will never do this, or I will always do this? I don't know. Maybe it's like, well, if I ever have kids, they're never going to. Have you ever made a promise and then fallen short? For me, and I mean, I'll just confess mine. I often said that I would never drive a minivan. I would never. In fact, I jokingly said, we'll make two trips before I drive a minivan. We now own a minivan, and I got to be honest with you, and I won't say this too many times again, but it is the most practical thing, the most practical decision, the most practical item that we have in our house outside of, you know, certain kitchen utensils. Like, I mean, it's as essential now to us as a fork and a spoon. It is the most practical. It's the most comfortable. We got four kids, and so I have eaten those words time and time again. We oftentimes make promises that we find it hard to keep. Sometimes it's light and funny, like I'll never drive a minivan or my kids will never eat in the back seat of it. But oftentimes we make promises that we come up short on that are actually harmful, not only to us, but to those we love most. And today we look at a story about the Apostle Peter. Peter made a big promise to Jesus, and he failed on that promise. He failed big time. But what we're going to see in this encounter today that Peter has with Jesus, or rather that Jesus has with Peter, we're going to see that even though we have failed at our promises and our declarations, that Jesus is always faithful. If you got your Bibles, I want you to join with me and let's look in John chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, who was nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped in the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them: fish cooked over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've caught," Jesus said. So Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" for they knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Jesus told him, follow me. So here we read in this story that Jesus once again visits with the disciples. Now, I love this story for a number of reasons, not the least of which is as the disciples come off the boat, Peter, of course, has jumped ahead of everyone. It gives us a clear picture of the personality of Peter. They all get there and Jesus has breakfast waiting on them. And not only does he have breakfast, but he has fish cooked over a charcoal fire, which this should once and for all settle the argument. Charcoal is better than gas. If gas was better than charcoal, I think it's clear Jesus would have had a propane grill. Not so much. He was cooking over a charcoal fire. It's a great story. It's a great story for a number of reasons. So what I want us to do is to kind of walk through here and look at some things we might discover about what's happening in this this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. So we begin with the fact that Peter is sitting around with the other disciples. Some of them are named, a couple of them are not. And Peter has this bright idea. I'm going fishing. Now, it's what Peter did. In fact, before Peter ever actually started following Jesus, he was a fisherman. And so this is at a time immediately following the crucifixion and resurrection. And I wonder what state of mind Peter is in. I think that he has seen Jesus and knows that Jesus is alive, but I'm not sure that he's fully understood what is going on with this resurrected Christ. And so Jesus visits once again, and Peter is down at the beach, and he's decided to himself, before Jesus shows up, he says, I'm going back fishing. I think for many of us, when we're in a state of confusion, or maybe we're not quite understanding what's going on, or maybe we're Peter, you know, obviously had made the big mistake the night of the crucifixion when he denied even knowing who Jesus was. I don't know what kind of guilt and shame he had, but his response was, I'm going back to what is familiar. I'm going back to do what I know how to do. Now, one thing I think that's important to note here, or certainly interesting to me, is that Peter just says, hey, I'm going fishing. But everyone around him said, well, we'll go too. Now, maybe they didn't have anything else to do, but I think there may have been some characteristics, whether it was his charisma, whether it was his proven ability to lead in the past, but something caused these disciples to want to follow Peter. It makes me wonder, is that exactly why Jesus chose him to be the rock, the cornerstone, the one who would launch the church, perhaps? What I do know is this: Peter went back to fishing. He took his buddies, and it's almost as if they were right back where they started when Jesus first showed up. I don't think that's accidental. I think in this moment, we're going to see, as we unpack this story, that Jesus sort of recreates that first call. So they're out on the boat, going back fishing. They're going back to what they normally do. And let me add on to that. I think for many of us, we find ourselves going back to whatever normal. And even in this current situation and circumstance that we're in, I think all of us want to go back to normal. And I'm not so sure that that's the best step forward for us. Maybe we need to discover where it is that Jesus is calling us in the future. What might be a preferred future for us, not only as individuals, but as a church, perhaps. And so sometimes when things are not going the way we had planned them, or maybe life has gotten in the way, maybe we've made some bad decisions, I think it seems to be natural that we would go back to what's familiar, but I don't think that's always what's best. I think for many of us, when we find ourselves making mistakes or in trouble, we go back to what's familiar and we just attempt to be busy. I don't even know if Peter was really looking to catch a lot of fish. I don't know if he was trying to get a quick paycheck. Who knows? But we know one thing is it provided for some sort of normalcy, some sort of escape from what was going on around him. And I think for many of us, we can find ourselves really busy doing things that at the end of the day have no eternal value. And we have to be careful what we put our, what we give ourselves to. Thank God Jesus shows up. And so they're out there on the boat doing what just seems natural or normal. They fish all night, and like I'm sure many times before, they had caught nothing. They had nothing to show for it. And they're only about 100 yards offshore. So think football field. Like, they're not that far away. And there's some dude on the shore who says, "Have y'all caught anything?" Which is not an uncommon question. I mean, if you walk down to the pier here in Long Beach, it's commonplace. You look at the guy who's fishing and say, "Hey, have you caught anything?" Or the gal who's over here throwing a cast net, "Is there anything biting?" Right? It's just a question you ask. You're making conversation, and they're like, "No, we got nothing." And then Jesus, as he has once before, says, "Well, why don't you fish on the other side of the boat? Put your nets down on the other side." And this time I find it really interesting. Jesus says, "Put your nets over there and you're going to catch some fish." Now, I don't know at what point, you know, we know John's on the boat, the disciple whom Jesus loved, because he says he's the one who told Peter, "Hey, it's the Lord." So I don't know if they already know it's Jesus. I would have to assume that he's not completely hidden from them, totally, at least not all of them. And so they let their nets down. They take the advice, they let the nets down, and sure enough, they catch a boatload of fish. See what I did there? Boatload. They get, the nets are slap full, 153. We get a number on this. It is a load of giant fish. And it's in that moment that John, and again, I don't know at what point he recognizes, oh, it's Jesus. And I'm not sure what actually compelled him to say to Peter, but he chose to look at Peter out of all the other people on the boat. And he says, "Captain, it's the Lord." He looks at Peter and says, "It's the Lord." And immediately Peter loses his mind. I don't know. He's stripped down to his fishing clothes and he's doing work. And now all of a sudden, he doesn't even care that he's got all these fish. He doesn't even care that he's swimming back when he could just row another 100 yards and get back. He literally puts his robe back on, jumps in the water, and wastes no time heading back to Jesus. I think it's a beautiful picture of Peter's desire to be near Jesus. I also think, and we'll cover this here in a moment, Jesus doesn't wait for us to come. You know, Jesus actually had showed up there looking for Peter. He pursues us. So Peter puts his clothes on, jumps in the water, heads back. The rest of the disciples drag the nets in. They do the work because Peter's too busy trying to catch and find Jesus. And so they find themselves back on shore. And it's there that Jesus has made breakfast for them. Now, I don't know about you, but Emily and I were having a discussion a while back. One of my favorite meals to eat out, and I love to cook, I love to eat at home, but one of my favorite meals to eat out is breakfast. There's something better about coffee when it is delivered hot and fresh at the table. You don't have to make it in the pot. I don't know what it is about that. Plus, like, somebody else's bacon always tastes better than mine, right? And so I love eating. And so these guys show up after a long, hard night of fishing, and Jesus has set a table for them. He has prepared breakfast for them. It's just a sign and a symbol of his compassion and his love and his care for his disciples. I think it's a beautiful image. And so they sit down and they share this meal, and somehow through the process, Jesus pulls Peter aside. It says, after breakfast, Jesus pulls Peter aside and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, we've gone over this. In fact, it wasn't that long ago, Chaplain Mark Massey, he was an active member of our church, preached this sermon. He spent a whole Sunday morning on Peter, and I would encourage you to listen to that. We're going to try to get that uploaded to our website real soon. But I went back and listened to it myself, and Mark took us through this dialogue between Jesus and Peter, where Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" And the way that Jesus asks the first question is, "Do you love me with a sacrificial love?" You know, we have one word for love, which is love. But in the way that Jesus spoke, he said, "Do you love me with complete abandon and sacrificial love?" And Peter responds with, "I like you a really lot, Jesus." And then Jesus says, "Well, feed my sheep," or he says, "Feed my lambs." And then Simon, or Jesus asks him again, and he says, "Do you like me a whole lot?" And Peter's like, "Yeah, I do. That's what I said." You see, Jesus sort of almost, he meets Peter where he is. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that discourse. One of the things that I want to point out here, though, today, is to talk about the fact that Jesus addresses Peter, not as Peter. You remember, Jesus gave Peter his name. He said, "No longer are you Simon, son of John. You're going to be Peter," which Petros, it means rock. He says, "You're going to be the rock on which I build my church." But you see, in this moment, coming just days after Peter had disowned even knowing Jesus, Jesus calls him by his real name, his full name. It's almost like Jesus is saying to him, "Roy Benjamin Barlow," that's my full name, actually. But not only is he calling him by his full name, he's going back to who he was before Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church on you." He says, "Simon, son of John." And I wonder, is it in this discourse that Jesus does that intentionally to show Peter how far he's moved away from Jesus through that moment of disownment? Now, many of us would not like to think of Jesus as one who would just rub his nose in it, and I don't think that's what Jesus is doing here at all. But I think what Jesus is doing is, as he's preparing to reinstate Peter, as he's preparing to take the sin of his denial and transform him by his grace and mercy back into right relationship with Jesus, that Jesus wants him to come to full recognition of his brokenness and sin. He wants to take, I believe, and again, this is just me taking liberty here, I believe Jesus wants to take Peter back a little bit and be like, "Don't you remember, Simon, son of John? Before you followed me, you were a fisherman and you were out catching fish. And then I told you you're going to come and catch people. You're going to fish for people. And there was an old life, but there's a new life. And you have given up this new life to go back to the old life by telling that young lady, as you were gathered around a fire once before, that you didn't even know who I was." And it is this beauty of Jesus' grace and mercy. He builds a fire. He cooks breakfast. Puts Peter back at the fire where he initially disowned even knowing who Jesus was. And Jesus so graciously looks at him and says, and deals justly with his sin by calling him, "Simon, son of John, you who have fallen, do you love me?" Now, I find it interesting too. "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus asks him. And there's a lot of debate among scholars as to who are these? What are these? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than these, more than these disciples? Do you love me more than this lifestyle? You know, whatever. I tend to think, and I heard another preacher say this, and so it seemed likely to me at the time. So you take it for what it's worth. But Jesus asked him, "Do you love me more than these?" And so perhaps Jesus is referring to those disciples around him. In fact, if we want to go down the road of perhaps Jesus is taking Peter back to his moment of being away from God, away from Jesus, that perhaps when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" he's reminding Peter that right before the crucifixion, you made a declaration, Peter, which you said, "Even if all of these would go away from you, if they would desert you, I will never desert you." You remember there was that time when Jesus had the disciples around him and he said, "You guys are going to run like scared ants and you're just going to fly away." And Peter's like, no, they might all leave, but not me. Remember, Jesus, I got your back. I'm with you. And Peter makes this incredible declaration that I will never leave you. And moments later, he's gathered around a fire. And a young lady asks him, aren't you with Jesus? I don't even know who you're talking about. I've never seen the guy. Jesus who? Three times in a row, before the cock crows, as Jesus predicted, Peter did not even know Jesus. And so Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Like, you said you were going to love me more than them, and you would never leave me, and you did. So it's an opportunity to reinstate Peter and give him an opportunity to make that declaration again, but to hold fast to it this time. And Peter says, yeah, I do. And then Jesus gives him instruction. He gives him instruction. He says, well, then I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to tend my sheep. I want you to take care of those. Remember, Peter, you're the rock. You're the one I'm going to build my church on. You're the one who's going to continue the message of the gospel. And the gospel is this, that I came, I lived, I gave myself away so that the world might have life and have it abundantly. And Peter, you're going to carry that into the world. So I want you to go take care of my sheep. Go out there and tend them, protect them, feed them, lead them. Feed my sheep. Friends, you and I look at this story, and I believe there's a lot to learn and a lot to take away. I think number one is just to be reminded that no matter how hard life gets or how much God seems to not meet our expectations, far too often, and we've talked about this a lot over the last several weeks, that sometimes what God is up to, we can't even comprehend. Oftentimes it's far greater, and so we have an expectation of what God ought to do, and sometimes he just doesn't meet that. And it's not that he's not at work. But you and I have an opportunity to respond in such a way that we either go back to what we know how to do or we continue to faithfully follow when it don't make any sense. And so, we have an opportunity to go back fishing or to wait patiently for the Lord to lead us to what's next. And here in this moment, Jesus shows up and helps usher Peter from the failed leader that he was supposed to be, who denied even knowing Jesus, back into the fold when he says, do you love me? Then go feed my sheep. I think it's beautiful. Jesus does it three times, almost to sort of counteract, if you will, and I know that's not how it works, but to stand in opposition to the three times that Peter denies knowing him. One other thing I think a good thing to take away for us is to be reminded Jesus came to where Peter and the other disciples were. He came to them. They're out fishing in the boat, and they look up, and Jesus, who is now resurrected, is all of a sudden standing on the shoreline, looking at them, saying, did y'all catch anything? Almost to say, don't forget, you guys, I've spent the last 3 years with you, and I've given you a call. I've given you a purpose, and it is to go and fish for people. So come on back in. Get your fish. And be reminded of this, guys. I just told you to look. I don't know what Jesus knew about fishing. He knew enough to say, let your nets down over there. I don't think it's because he was a great fisherman. I think it's everything to do with the fact that he was the Son of God, and he wanted to remind them, I will provide for you. If you will just go fish, I'll provide the fish. And so you and I have a God who comes near and who provides every step of the way, who will lovingly look at us and recognize and help us to recognize the brokenness of our sin, just as he did with Peter when he called him Simon, son of John. And by his grace and his mercy, he opens the door and provides an invitation to come back into the fold. And not only to come back into relationship, but to come back in relationship and live your life on purpose. He didn't just say to Peter, you're forgiven, now go on about your way. He looked at Peter and said, now there's work to do. Go and feed my sheep, tend my lambs, do what I've called you to do. You see, for many of us, we at some point in our life had a call. We felt God was impressing upon us that we felt we had purpose, and somehow we dropped the ball, whether of our own doing or something somebody else did to us. We've dropped the ball, and so some of us have left our first love and our first call. And I believe that Jesus, in all of his justice and compassion, in his willingness to not just forget about our sin, but to deal with it and deal with it in a real way, can reinstate us just as he did with Peter, to bring us back into the fold and give us purpose. For many of you today, that's what God's speaking to you. You left it somehow and you just assume somebody else is going to pick it up. And Jesus is saying, do you love me? You said one time that you loved me and you would do anything and you would go where I sent. Are we still on for that? Because I'm good with it, Jesus would say. Are you ready? Today might be a day where you just come to grips. Like you just get honest with Jesus and say, yeah, I have denied you. I have turned my back. I've messed up. And yet, knowing that Jesus is standing there on the shoreline saying, come on back. Come on back. Let me remind you of who you are and who I've called you to be. I know this much. As a pastor, that the world needs you to be who God created you to be. The world needed Peter to be the Peter that Jesus called, not the Peter that he wanted to be as he went back fishing. The world needed Peter to be Peter, the rock on which Jesus would launch the church. I can't wait for the next few weeks. We're going to continue this conversation and this storyline as we follow Jesus from the point where he was resurrected to the point where he ascends and goes back to heaven and to the point where he gives us his Holy Spirit. Next week, we talk about the Great Commission. Before he ascends and before he gives us the Holy Spirit, Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, now go. This is what you're going to do. Spoiler alert, go therefore and make disciples just like you. Baptize them, teach them everything that I've taught you. And I'm going with you, don't worry. I can't wait to share in that conversation with you. But until then, would you consider the interaction there with Peter and know that you have a God that comes near to you, who wants to reinstate you, who wants to give you your purpose back, that you might advance the kingdom with your life. May God bless you. May he forgive you and reinstate you, giving you great purpose. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for your mercy, for your grace, for the gift of your son, Jesus, for all the ways in which, no matter how far away we get, no matter how we turn our backs on you, Lord, you're still there calling us, offering redemption. And so, God, I pray that you would restore each and every one of us, just as you did with Peter, that you would bring us back into the fold and that you would renew within us a purpose to advance your kingdom, to live our lives in such a way that we fulfill the call that you've placed on us. God, we believe and we say that you have created us uniquely and intentionally. Just like you've made us uniquely, God, you have given us a unique purpose. And so help us to understand that. Help us to own it and help us to live into it. We can only do that, God, if you will help us. Only if you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us and empower us and enable us to live as your people, restored and redeemed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday when we look at the charge and the commission that gives us to go and make disciples. God bless you.